The title is Road Trip to Recovery. I talked about this last Friday night under a very stressful circumstance in another church, and it's so good, and so I'm so glad to be here, I tell you that, with a friendly group, hopefully. Anyway, so, yeah, right, okay. Well, open up your heart to the Holy Spirit, your eyes and ears to God's Word as you see Him at work in the lives of others and in your own life, and open up your roadmap here, the outline, Road Trip to Recovery. I remember as a kid going on road trips in a high school team, basketball team. It was a blast. We'd get a charter bus. I remember one trip we went 100 miles to Quincy, Illinois, and it was, I thought I was in heaven, man. I mean, the players, the cheerleaders on the bus together, we had free meals, and it was a blast. I still have this memory, a certain memory on that, getting off that bus as a band of guys together coming into this kind of a scary place, the Quincy Blue Devils, and they acted like it too, and coming in as a band of men, young guys, high school boys, saying, we're going to win, and we did. And it was so much fun coming back on that road trip on the way back home and celebrating. Maybe you can think of road trips you've taken. Well, I want to go on a road trip to recovery. I've been really impressed by the Lord, our God, to do even more pastoral care for our Celebrate Recovery group that meets every Tuesday night here at 6:30 to 8, and it's been phenomenal. We've had 8 people, new people coming, people getting recovery over addictions and habits and hurts and hang-ups. It's been absolutely astounding. So I'm using the principles, and as I was looking at this text, Pastor Rick, I saw 6 of the 8 principles of Celebrate Recovery in this text. So I can't just give you 2 out of the 6, okay? So we got to go on a road trip. So, okay, so fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. Our first trip was we get in our car, make sure we lock the doors, we're all ready to go. We're going to drive out to the desert, a desert highway. Well, that shouldn't be too far for us here, right? Here in Arizona, so let's just get out. We're away from the city now. We're on a desert highway. You know, it's amazing how much ADOT spends each year of our highways and bridges. They had a $100 million shortfall. That's just the shortfall. So you can imagine how much their whole budget is. So it takes a lot of our budget to build roads and maintain them. So it's a big deal, right? I mean, there's a lot of effort. And maybe you've seen, like me, where there's 5 construction people working and maybe 1 working, the other 4 watching them. I don't understand that, why they need that many consultants, but that's the way it is. But in our text for today, John the Baptist is prophesied his ministry in this text. If we go down to verse 3. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And this is the word of the Lord, right? Thanks be to God indeed. So we have the picture of going out in the highway, in the desert. In those days, there weren't highways or roads. But when a king would come, there was a street in St. Louis called King's Highway. When a king would come, they would prepare a road. And they would prepare a way for the king and his men to come into town as victors and as champions. And here, the King of Kings is coming. And the call of Isaiah, after 39 chapters of warning the people about if they don't repent, they're going to lose their nation, they're going to lose their country, they're going to be exported out and exiled out, and they were. And either Isaiah writes this years later, after the fact, after they are in exile, or he looks ahead and he prophesies. He says, you know, I've given you a tough message that usually Pastor Rick's had to deliver, going through those chapters, but now I want to comfort you. And in the Hebrew it means, well, it says, comfort, comfort my people. A beautiful song in the Messiah, by the way. Say tenderly to my people that their hard service has been completed. That word for comfort and speak tenderly means speak quietly but powerfully. At the same time, I'm giving them comfort. I'm giving them hope. And I'm preparing a way in the desert. But anyway, the idea of this in our first part of our road trip, the road to recovery, is openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to others. That's a tough thing to do. But we won't get recovery. We won't get healed. We won't get better. We won't be good disciples, strong disciples, until we look up and fess up to the fact that we aren't perfect. And as Luther talks about, we look in the mirror of the law, and it shows us that we have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we're all messed up. We're all a train wreck. And we have to look at that, otherwise we won't say, oh, who cares about this church stuff? Who needs a Savior? Well, you do, and I do. And without Him, we won't have eternal life. We won't go to heaven. That's how serious this stuff is. So we need to wake up and pay attention to His Word, because His Word is for today and our nation just as much as in days of Isaiah, if not more. We ought to know better in our country. And look what we've let our country turn into in our churches. It is pathetic. It really is. But we are glad that God's here. An amazing grace is of trying to be a shining light in a dark world with a bunch of dark churches. Not all, but some have forgotten this message that we need to start clearing the way. We need to stop pounding the pavement, the hardness of our hearts. And what Isaiah talks about in this highway image is every mountain laid low. Imagine the dynamite. They're still talking about trying to build a highway by Ahwatukee to move to go around Ahwatukee up to around here. They've been talking about that since I moved to Arizona 22 years, and it still isn't happening. But they're thinking about how they have to level off mountains or go through them or around them or something. But the idea here is the mountains of our lives. When we've become prideful and we think we can do it, God wants to take a sledgehammer and destroy the strongholds in our lives we all have and smash them. And that's what God says. I want to smash the strongholds with my love and my power, and then I want to build up the valleys where we feel our self-esteem is about this much, if even that. And He wants to build us up with the valleys where we feel like we're a lost cause and there's no hope for us. So He wants to make a level plain. Got it? That's our first road trip. Very important, because without this, the other good news doesn't make any difference if we don't see the need for this. So, the desert highway. Prepare the way for the Lord. All right, let's keep moving on our trip. I remember in Ahwatukee, a few years ago when I was there, we had an unusually wet winter. And I remember going out in the springtime at South Mountain Park. You've been there? And this one valley was filled with desert flowers, beautiful orange and yellow flowers. It carpeted the whole area. I mean, it was almost painful to the eye. It was so bright. It was dazzling. But do you think when it was around July and it's 112 degrees, those flowers were still there? No, they were burnt to a crisp. Here today and gone tomorrow. And the same way, Isaiah was trying to point out to the people that we can be here today and gone tomorrow. You can be the MVP of the National League and then find out he's got a drug test he failed. You can be at the top of the mountain, the top of the heap. All God has to do is flick His finger, and that person could be down and out, right? God is in the business of shaking things up and reminding people who is God. And so this section here says, remember that God's Word is the last word. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what should I cry? All men, all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. So God will get the last word, right? And the best word. Yes. He had the first word, let there be light. And there was light. Just like that, right? Just He said it. Boom, there it is. And He will have the last word in our country and in your life and my life. We draw our last breath, whenever that is. We will hear the voice of Jesus. We will see the angels come for us. And that last word will be, come. Come on home. I've been waiting for you, and it's all ready. For the believer, we have that assurance His last word will be His best word, forgiveness and grace. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. That Shekinah glory of God will be revealed to us, which is awesome. So this step here is realize I'm not God, and others aren't either. For us codependents, reminding ourselves that we can't please everybody, and they're not God. And we shouldn't give them the power to determine our happiness. But also realize I'm not God. And that's a very important step. Actually, if you turn in the back of the outline, the other page, it says, step one, realize I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. If we have addictions and habits we can't get the best of, join the club. None of us has enough willpower. It's not about willpower. It's about God power. It's about having His life in our lives, which are unmanageable. So we've gone to the desert highway. We've gone farther on that highway to a field of grass and flowers in spring and summer. And now let's go to a mountain. Let's go to the mountain, and it's in verse 9 of our text. It says, "You who bring good tidings to Zion, get up, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout." Lift it up. Don't be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, "Here is your God." Now the good stuff. We had to hear the bad news. Now here's the gospel, the sweet gospel that comes in. Isaiah says, you know, I've had a hard message for you people. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Come on, change your ways. And he had to come with a hammer of God, the law, to try to smash the pride and the arrogance and the self-sufficiency. And now, the good news. He says, go up to a high mountain. Go up to a high mountain. Why a high mountain? Well, because in those days they didn't have these microphones. And what would a messenger do? He'd go on top of a mountain and go, "Hear ye, hear ye. Listen up." And he would proclaim the message down to the people below. That was their sound system, their PA system, their public address system of that day. So Isaiah's saying, you Christians, quit being so quiet about the good news you have in your life. If it's changed your life, if you have something to share, go out and share it. If people that you run across are depressed, feeling hopeless and angry and agitated, give them a good word of encouragement and hope. Lift it up. Lift up your voice. Say, well, I'm not a preacher. So what? Probably do a better job than we preachers anyway. Because you're the satisfied customer, not the paid salesman. You've got to share the message. I have got to share that message to people. Where they can find hope. Where they can find joy. Where they can find eternal life. And especially this time of year. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, for I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. Not a little joy. We act like, oh, maybe a little joy. No, great joy. Mega joy, it says in the Greek. Immeasurable joy. So, we shouldn't just sing the Christmas carol. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. We go on that mountain. And we tell the good news in a way that's natural for you. You are called to be a witness. And if you have any recovery, anything that God has done in your life, we don't have to be perfect to witness. We say, I'm a mess still, but this is what God's done for me so far. I'm better than I was. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. By God's grace. By the Messiah who has come. So we go to that mountain. And now let's go to the valley, and we're going to go visit a shepherd. Because many times in the Middle East, and even when I moved to Albuquerque, there would be fields out there with sheep. And as Pastor Rick talked about, the shepherd would have his staff, and would have a lot of uses for that staff, and he already talked about that. And the shepherd is different than a rancher. A rancher drives the cattle, right? Gets the whip out, get it on, dog, yeah! You know, the Westerns, right? Get on there! And he drives the cattle. You can't drive sheep like that. You have to go out in front and lead them. And the sheep would get to know the voice of the shepherd, the real shepherd. And he would know each sheep by a name. And the sheep would recognize the voice of the shepherd. They'd have that kind of intimate relationship. And Isaiah uses this. Ezekiel used it as well. God got so ticked off the pastors of that day in the Old Testament. He said, all right, I'll be your pastor. These guys are messing up. They've forgotten my message. I'll step in myself and be my shepherd, be the shepherd for my people. But anyway, Isaiah uses the same imagery, and look at verse 11. More good news. He tends his flock like a shepherd, and he gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Here's the picture of the good shepherd, right? I saw this at a prayer service a week ago Saturday night. This little boy was crying and crying and crying. His mom and dad were in drugs and alcohol, and he was staying with grandparents, and it was Christmas time, and he was just feeling really, really bad. And I saw this woman just hold this little guy to her chest and just rocked him. Rocked him for a long time and just told him kind words and hushed him and quieted him down. And he looked a lot better after he was held by that step-in mom. Jesus comes, even to us tough guys, and he says, I want you to receive a hug from the shepherd and be healed by my love. And this fits in with step two. Realize that I matter to him. You matter to God. God loves you. Do you feel his love? Do you feel the shepherd giving you that inner healing? So one of the problems is in recovery, we get so filled with shame and guilt, we run away from the shepherd. And Jesus said, come on. I want to love you. I'm not going to scold you. He said, you shouldn't have done that. He's not going to use this to drive people away. He'd use this part of it to drive the wolves away. He uses this part of it to bring the sheep closer to him, to draw them if they're scared of the shepherd, that they're going to get yelled at and cast away and rejected like they have been by everybody else. Jesus said, I won't reject you. Yeah, your sin's great, but your salvation is greater because I provided for it. And he's trying to draw people close to his heart. But a lot of people are scared of being that close to God. Face to face with God or close to his heart. They want to be at a distance, in the back pew, not paying attention. Jesus, come on, get closer. And that is an essential part of all of our recovery because we're all addicted to sin. And that is getting closer to Jesus. How closer are you to him? Me neither. Well, God wants to change that right now. He wants to bring you close, and me, closer to him. We've got some people coming to our second service that have never experienced the love of God. One of my clients said, I want to meet God. I want to find a place where I'll be accepted. So we got Sealed and Sandy driving all the way to Mesa right now, all the way out to Mesa, pick her up, bring her kids here to church, and they're going to take them back to Mesa and come all the way back, just so she'll experience what we experience every Sunday here, the Good Shepherd. And you know what? Jesus, he would seek out certain sheep. You know who he would seek out? The poor, the rejected, the lonely. Jesus had a special place in his heart for those folks. And Pastor Rick has that as well. And so do we. You know how hard it is for me to find a church for people to live out in all over the valley like we have here? That I know they'll be accepted. I can't find a place out in East Valley. So we'll bring him here. Because it's a matter of life or death, isn't it? And it's a good word from a good shepherd who can heal people who've gone the far. You know where you've been and how God can bring you. So we had to take a little stop on a road trip to the shepherd. Now, we need to blast off to outer space. Or maybe not. I remember going on a sailboat in San Diego, getting out of the desert. Had to get out of the desert. Can't be in the desert all the time, right? Went to San Diego. I think it was Harbor Island or Shelter Island. And spending a couple nights with my wife on a boat in the harbor. And I remember having a small group Bible study also one time on a boat out on the lake at night and seeing all the stars, seeing the shimmering water, the ocean when I was in San Diego, and looking up at all the stars. What a view. And it is there when we go out and see the stars away from the city lights. You see all those stars, and that's just a tiny fraction of what God has made. And he's called them by name and remembers their name of all those stars and all the thousands and thousands of galaxies and the depth of this galaxy we're in. You've got to be a pretty big God to make something like that. Well, I just got this last night and actually put it together. I felt like a little kid putting together a model. And it says, don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell the storm how big your God is. Isn't that great? I love that. And the stars remind us how big our God is. Or the ocean, was what Isaiah talks about. He made that ocean. He made those stars. Is your God as big as He really is, or do you shrink Him down and shrink wrap? A little religious icon. He wants to be the God that He is in your life. Because when that happens, we will look up and we'll realize our God is so big. And the step there is earnestly believe that God exists. Earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. Nothing is impossible with God. Virgin birth, no problem. When the angel came to Mary and said, "Behold," you know, gave the good news, and she said, "How's this going to be? I've not known a man." And what did the angel say? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. Our recovery, our growth, our salvation is all in God's hands. And we forget how big our God is. So I would ask you to think about, we sing about, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all the world will see how great is our God. We sing about the splendor of the King, robed in majesty, the beginning and the end. That's quite a God, right? Well, so take a trip to outer space. I remember Greg giving me a few things on illustrations of the stars and seeing the space shuttle and just all the wonders of God. So let's take a trip there. This might help. And it puts our problems in perspective, doesn't it? When you compare the vast universe and our vast God, and then our problems will shrink down. God is enlarged, magnified, and our problems are shrunk down to realistic measure that God can take care of it, right? Right? Amen. Well, thank you. All right. All right, let's go. We got one more place to go, and we're going to try to see an eagle. I have never seen an eagle in person. I keep trying. Everybody says, oh, go to Lake St. Mary. I've been there. I didn't find them. Go to Verde Valley. I've been there. I didn't find them. I have all the places that people say to go. I've been there. Shannon saw them a week before. I didn't see them. I've never seen an eagle in flight. I want to so badly. Probably by your house, Doc. And Liz, you're probably in the cabin. You've got them. I've never seen them when I'm there. No, you don't see them? Oh. Well, anyway. You've seen them. Well, what's the picture here, the sermon illustration for the eagle in flight? Well, look at it in our text. Because they're doing a little complaint, like we never complain, right? No, we don't complain, no. Verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. I says, oh, wait a minute. I know you're in exile. I know you lost your home, your church, you've lost everything, but you haven't lost your God. He says in verse 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives power to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait or hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. If you see an eagle in flight, is it going, it's not doing that, is it? It's gliding on the wind currents, like we should be gliding on the wind of the Holy Spirit and letting Him propel us to a new year and a new way. With His power, His strength, lifting us up, giving us uplift, as we get closer in worship to Him, there's something that happens to us every time we worship, right? We are changed. We're renewed. We're strengthened. Our hearts are assured, are refreshed, are open, are empowered in worship. It doesn't happen as much in a sermon, it can, but I think worship is where it's at. Prayer and worship is when we encounter God, and He encounters us face to face. And when that happens, we can fly out of here like eagles. We may come in like turkeys and just feel like, whoa, I can't fly, I can't do anything, and they're trying to shoot me, they're trying to eat me up. We can be like eagles because it's not our power, it's God's. And the word there for wait or hope in the Lord, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. That actual Hebrew word means a rope twisted together with many, many strands. Like a cable, a steel cable with many strands twisted together. And he's saying, Isaiah said, these promises are only for those who find the strands and the different pieces of rope that are tied together, twisted together, and bound together. And what it means is, the more you're in the Word, in worship, talking to the Christians, and the more you're with God and the Holy Spirit and His connection, the stronger the connection is, the more strength is available to you. So those who hope or wait, Lord, those who are tied with Jesus, bound to Him, will have the strength to fly. Get away from God and His Word, as Pastor Rick says all the time, and you get away from your strength and your power. And you can't fly, right? We're shot down. And what a fall it can be. But we can get back up. Get back up again, that one song Caleb talks about. So this principle is reserve a daily time with God in order to gain the power to follow His will. And if you turn on the back page, it's actually verse, step 7. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. That's where it's at, right? For our recovery. Well, we're back home from our trip. Wasn't too long. I preached 48 minutes Friday night. Wasn't quite that long, maybe 30-something. But what's God saying to you, though? This is the real point of the sermon. What are you hearing? What is God saying to you? Well, may He continue to speak on your road trip to recovery. Sometimes I've gone on a vacation road trip, and as soon as I get back in the traffic, it seems like I've lost my peace that I had in the Pines or Flagstaff or wherever. But then another time I said, I'm not going to let it happen. I'm going to keep that peace. I'm going to keep smiling. I'm not going to let the traffic or anything that I face take away my peace and my joy and my strength, because my mind will be focused on Him. And may you focus on Jesus, your pilot, who is your North Star, who is your guide and will be for the new year. Because Jesus is not still in the manger. The manger is empty. Jesus is not still on the cross. The cross is empty. Jesus is not still in the tomb. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive and well. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. For unto you is born this day in the city of David your Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds, your emotions and your thoughts connected to Jesus for your recovery and your discipleship until that last word you hear from Jesus, come on home. Amen.